Let's go now to some stats that truly illustrate the housing crisis in this country. A report out today from Anglicare shows that for those on low incomes, renting a property to live in is almost impossible. Anglicare's rental affordability snapshot shows that of 20,000 properties advertised for rent recently in Sydney and Melbourne, just 40 were considered suitable for people living on low incomes. Other figures show that nationally there's been an explosion in the number of cheap rooming houses. New data from RMIT University in Melbourne shows that in Melbourne alone, the number of rooming houses has quadrupled over the past 5 years. Welfare agencies say because of the accommodation crisis, they sometimes have no choice but to place people, including entire families, into rooming houses, most of which are substandard. As Mike Woods reports, some councils are turning a blind eye to the conditions in some of these places, just so the homeless are not forced to sleep rough.
Research from RMIT University shows that the number of people living in rooming houses in Melbourne has soared by 230% in the last 5 years. In 2006, there were 360 rooming houses in and around the city. Today, there are 12,500, many of them not registered. Some are in reasonable condition, most are not. Professor Chris Chamberlain from RMIT's Centre for Applied Social Research is author of the report Counting Rooming Houses.
I went to one older rooming house here in the inner suburbs. In the bathrooms, there were holes in the ceiling, there were holes in the walls, there were taps missing. The kitchens were both dirty and primitive. This particular one was actually really appalling.
And was that place registered?
Yes. Council officers who do the registration process are in a very difficult position. They are extremely concerned about safety. Obviously, the one thing they do not want is a fire in a rooming house. So they are very concerned to try to make sure that at least the minimum conditions in terms of fire regulations are adhered to. On the other hand, they're very torn by the fact that if they close rooming houses down, the next stop for people is the streets.
In many rooming houses, operators are simply out to make a quick buck and take advantage of those being squeezed out of the cheap rental market. Professor Chris Chamberlain says this is the main reason for the explosion in the number of rooming houses nationally.
Now you're getting a larger range of poor and marginalised people going. There are now some older people in the rooming houses. Typically, it's been a couple and either the husband or the wife has died, and then the person is left with a single pension to try to rent a private flat, and he or she ends up in a rooming house. There are now students in rooming houses, and there are also some families. Welfare agencies will tell you they try very, very hard indeed not to send families to rooming houses, but sometimes they simply run out of funds and the rooming house is the only choice.
Nettie Horton is the Territorial Social Program Director for the Salvation Army. She is also on the Prime Minister's Council on Homelessness. She says despite efforts of governments and agencies, nothing much has changed in the last 20 years.
I think there are examples of private owners who have a genuine concern about some of the people that are living in their properties. But I think we have many more examples, unfortunately, of fairly shoddy operations of people who are not asking too many questions and are not really that interested in the needs of the people going into that accommodation. I think the sad thing, Mike, is, you know, I was involved in sort of visiting rooming houses 20 years ago, and it's very sad to say, but, you know, conditions haven't really changed that much. And, you know, there's been a number of strategies and frameworks and resources. And I think it would be fair to say that government and the community is trying to do a lot more about these places than they used to. But I think it's very sad when we see the very similar conditions still existing.
Nettie Horton says many homeless people end up in rooming houses long term because they're unaware of other options or because they've fallen through the cracks in the welfare system. She says sadly in some cases substandard rooming houses are the only home and only community that many people have known and, despite the poor conditions, are reluctant to leave.
You know, it is hard to believe, but we would hear of cases fairly regularly where we find particularly elderly people who may have been living in very poor conditions for many, many years without really being tapped into by whatever community services. And as we find those people, of course, we do our utmost to move those people into a much more supportive and better environment. But I think we have to also be conscious of the fact that we don't want to move people completely out of any community that they have ever known.
Professor Chris Chamberlain says rooming houses are also creating concern in the suburbs, particularly in Melbourne's west. He says many residents are being confronted with numerous problems associated with the establishment of rooming houses in their area. However, he says this also leads to many unregistered operations coming to the attention of local councils.
It could be that there are large numbers of people going in and out of the rooming house at odd hours of the night, and it's a conventional suburban street and, you know, people have got kids asleep and all those sorts of things. Or it could be that there are disturbances in the rooming houses because people in rooming houses are often on the margins. So you will get some rooming houses where there are people who have mental health issues. You'll get some where people have drug and alcohol issues, anger management issues, and so on. So it can sometimes be quite a volatile mix of people, and this upsets people in suburban streets. They then complain to the council then inspects, and then they go through the process of registration, is how it typically works.
The Salvation Army's Nettie Horton says substandard rooming houses should be closed and their operators put out of business. She says what's immediately needed is more affordable housing stock matched where needed with the appropriate support. However, she says there are not many votes in the homelessness issue, which is one which the majority of Australians simply don't fully understand.
The general community may not often recognise that people living in these rooming houses are in fact homeless. And yet, I think for most of us, if we thought that our only home was one where we had no lock on the door, we had terrible conditions, we had no choice about who we were living with. You know, it was all that we could afford and in fact took the majority of our income to live there. I think most of us would agree that that's not what we would categorise as a home. But I think it is actually perhaps, you know, being able to broaden our understanding of homelessness and actually close these places down, but provide alternative accommodation and support options for those people.
That's right, and you've got to get that in the right order. That's Nettie Horton, Territorial Social Program Director for the Salvation Army, ending that report from Mike Woods. And there'll be more discussion about Anglicare's rental affordability snapshot released today with Natasha Mitchell on Life Matters after 9 o'clock this morning here on RN. It's 21 past 8.